tonight. Oh, do you love him? Hallelujah. Oh, have you come to praise him? Yes, we've come to praise him.
praise in this house tonight. Oh, we serve a great God. Oh, yes, He's still on the throne. He's still in control. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Good to see everyone in the house of the Lord. And I, too, want to greet our guests. It's good to have the Pachecos with us. Amen. They belong here. Amen. And they're both just like us. When we first came to this church, we didn't know anybody. And we just kind of got acclimated amongst the congregation. And then all of a sudden, we just fell at home. And we're all one happy family together. Praise God. And that's just the way it ought to be. Praise God. Amen. Well, in 1998, in the month of August, I taught the first series of this important subject to young people. And it was a subject that we called Worth the Wait. Now, how many of you young people was in of that particular class in 1998, and you're here? We are 1, 2, 3. Brother Bob had his hand up. That's 4. Amen. Brother Jarrell, Sister Hopi. All right, so there's a few. Now, next question, do you still have your ribbon? Brother Jarrell, he's been trying to get rid of that ribbon for a long time. You can't get rid of the ribbon until you get married. And so we have several here that was in that first session when we taught Worth the Wait in 1998. And how many of you adults were here for those lessons? Now just think in your mind, that was 23 years ago. I'm trying to help some of you. You're trying to figure out, 23 years ago, how many of you adults were here for those first sessions? All right, there's a good number. Now, how many, and I don't have the date, but how many was in our second session that we taught these subjects? We have one back in the back. Young people, we just got 1, 2. So you're a two-timer on this one, huh? Did you get 2 ribbons? You got 6. Boy, you're going to shower that girl with 6 ribbons. Now, this will be 7 ribbons when you get married. All right, so we have a few. Did you get yours the second or the first session? He got both. All right, so this is what it's all about. And sometimes we need to hear it more than once to get it to register in our minds. And so I felt it a need to bring these types of lessons back again to our young people. But it's also good for our adults to hear these types of lessons, because then you have a better understanding of what these young people are up against in the world that which we live in. And so, my goodness, I've got to find out when I taught the second set. I know the first set, yeah, believe it or not, when I taught it the first time, I didn't have a computer. In 1998, I didn't have a computer. And everything, all of my notes back in those days was all handwritten. And Brother Hale has most of those notes. But I did keep a few, such as these Worth the Wait classes. And I was going through them, and I thought, my goodness, this lesson is so far behind the times that I thought, I got to make these things fresh and new. And so I have spent much time with these lessons, and I know that I normally would teach 3 classes, and the 4th class we would give our graduates their ribbons and would congratulate them, but Those this year, you got to endure 10 lessons. And it's because of the times in which we live in. Amen. It's changed. And so I am not going to keep you long. The Lord wills. I'm going to just get to the point, teach the subjects, and allow you to go home and chew on the word. Amen. And chew on it a little more. I've asked these men to help me tonight, so they're going to be reading several scriptures, and they're going to be not quick in reading, but quick when I give the verse to start reading. And I don't want them to read the scriptures very quickly, because they're needful for us to hear what the scripture speaketh. So let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to go to chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 15. And I mean what I said on Sunday morning. For those of you that were not here, it was Kids' Day. And boy, we had fun on Kids' Day. And a lot of games and a lot of food. And we just had a good time of fellowship. And the message that I brought, the first part of that message, was more of a letter written to young people. And it's important for young people to realize that there are those that do love them and that care about their future and want to see them succeed and to be not just happy, to be able to be content. And I mean, I do love you here again tonight. And my purpose is to help you. I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want you to be taken advantage of. I want you to realize that there are those in this church that care about you. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, if you will follow me, I'm starting at verse 15. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. The Corinthians were Gentiles. They were not Jews, but they were Gentiles. These were those that were grafted into the church, and it was by the Lord's doing that he saved the Gentiles as he saved the Jew. And so Paul writes, "Know ye not that your bodies," everyone say, "my body," "are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Oh, let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to hearts today. Lord, we're so thankful for your presence. We ask you, Lord, that you would minister through your word to everyone that is here and that will hear the word. I pray, God, that you would minister to hearts. I pray, God, that you would do a work in someone's life that can make a difference for them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you may be seated. Tonight, I will be speaking directly to our young people, but it will also include the entire body. And so my purpose is to talk about how we treat each other, and especially in regards to dating and in our relationships. And that's important. So my title tonight will be Separated from This World. Separated from This World. Let me start out by saying these comments, okay? Singles seem to fall through the cracks in many churches. Think about it. That's an observation, not a criticism. It's one of those hard-to-avoid problems that just naturally occurs. If you're single and you're shaking your head in agreement, it's not that the church doesn't care about singles. They do. But being single isn't a characteristic that necessarily unites people into well-structured little groups. You feel when you're a single that you are alone and by yourself, and there's no one else possibly of your age. For an example, you can be 18 or 88 and be single. 18-year-old singles have a complete different set of needs than, say, a middle-aged single adult. Is that true? Now, you can respond. You can say, oh, me. You can say, mercy. Or you can say, amen. Or right on. All right, so these lessons, we're going to have some feedback, amen, because this is going to be some teachings that as adults, I can remember the first time I taught these series of lessons in my own mind, I thought, I wish somebody would have taught this when I was a young person. And so this is because we care about you and we want the best in your life. Amen. My goodness, you spend this kind of money for a sound system like this, and, you know, I feel like just throwing it out that door. I could probably do a lot better just talking like this. Okay, Lord, I won't do it. I'll just stick to my notes. So, let's just... putting all the good and all the bad excuses aside, churches need to talk more about how apostolic singles should approach dating and relationships. I see singles struggling to navigate dating and serving God faithfully at the same time from all age groups. So with this in mind, I want to start out tonight with these lessons. And first, I want to give us 6 dating standards that are directed towards any age group. Amen. Any age group. So if you're sitting there and you're 45 and single, and I say some things, don't think that's to those that are 18. I'm talking to you. And so I am going to make some statements of fact in this first lesson here tonight. And some of these standards are solid biblical truths, while others are personal opinions based on my years of counseling and observation. I've been at this, well, I've been married 41 years, so I think I got some little bit of knowledge on marriage. And I've been pastoring for 30 years. So I think I know a little bit. Several years ago, I was sitting in the old church, and I was praying, and there was a knock on the door, and the door opened, and a young man came in, and he started talking to me, and he started telling me what he thinks marriage ought to be. And at that time, I'd been married for 24 years, and he was talking away, and I just let him talk. And then finally, I stopped, and I said, you know, I said, how many years do you think I've been married? He says, I don't know. I said, I've been married 24 years. He said, oh, well, that's good. I said, how long you been married? He says, 6 months. And I said, and so you think you know more about marriage than I do? He said, well, I didn't say that. I said, then why don't you quit telling me what marriage ought to be like and let me tell you how marriage ought to be. Well, he didn't like that, and he never came back. You know what? You can have an opinion, but your opinion can be wrong. It's best to listen to someone who's got a little bit more experience. I've only been married once, 41 years. And we're starting our 41st anniversary with a honeymoon. Hey, why not? Some of you old fogies out there ought to put a little more spice in your marriage. Yeah. 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 I'm not hearing too many yeah.
Yeah.
How many years have you been married? 25. You're still wet behind the ears. You're trying to catch up. 25 years. That's great. That's good. But you know, all the young people need to realize that not every marriage is perfect. You got problems. You'll have issues. But you've got to learn how to deal with the problems. You don't run from them, but you deal with it. And so let me start with a few statements of fact. Being single, first of all, hear me. Being single does not mean that you are less valuable than a married individual in this church. It's far better to be single than married to the wrong person. It's a natural God-given desire to long for a spouse. How many of you girls that are sitting the first, well, let's just be safe and say the first two rows. How many of you girls would like to get married? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11 of them. All right, so there's one, two, three, four, five that don't want to get married. All right, guys, those are the five you want to just forget. They don't want to get married. How many of you guys that are sitting in these first two rows, you really want to get married? You want to get married. I'm not saying right now. You want to get married. Okay, all right. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. You boys want to get married one day? 10, 11? Yeah, Micah wants to get married. Oh, Joel wants to get married. What do you mean? As soon as possible. Oh, we got one way in the back. He's trying to get my attention. He's getting waving like, don't forget me back here. Isaiah wants to get married. How about anybody up here? And so that's normal to want to get married. But the key to it all is marrying the right one. So it's natural. It's natural. You should pursue that desire on God's terms. Everyone say God's terms. Not mine. Not mine. God's terms. Which leads me to point number one, which I already stated, but let me say it again. Being single does not mean that you are less valuable than married people in the church. So, statement of fact number one, apostolic singles should never consider dating anyone, and I mean anyone, who is not apostolic. There is nothing more important to any relationship than walking in spiritual unity. How can you have anything truly in common with someone who isn't in full agreement with the most defining aspect of your life? And that is what you believe. Let's read Amos chapter 3, verse 3.
Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Can two walk together in unity unless they agree? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
1 Corinthians 15:33.
Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
2 Timothy 3 and 5.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
See, there are so many scriptures. These are just a few that are touching the subject that God is commanding his people not to intertwine in marriage to those that are unbelievers. It creates havoc, trouble, and frustrations. Spiritual and doctrinal disagreements impact every part of a married life. I've heard all of the arguments. I've heard every excuse for why this person is one that's good and they're a good exception to that rule. And the stories almost always ends in heartache and backsliding. I have observed countless situations where someone pretended to be serious about God just to be in a relationship with an apostolic guy or girl. In those situations, the entire relationship was built on a lie. Can I say that again? It was built on a lie. And it's hardly a good start to any long-lasting marriage. Dating someone into the church is another bad idea. The happily ever after success stories are very scarce. And beyond that, it's really a question of the heart. I've often told individuals, win them to God and watch. Win them to God and watch them grow. And if they're, you know, we say, well, they got the Holy Ghost. Well, did the Holy Ghost get them? So witness to them, bring them to church, let them get a relationship with God. Time is going to be your best friend in times and measures of that nature, because you will see if they're going to stick it out. And if they don't, it wasn't worth the trouble. Why would you be attracted to someone who isn't Holy Ghost filled? Holy and zealous about their faith. Apostolic singles should never consider dating anyone, and I mean anyone, who is not apostolic. There is nothing more important to any relationship than walking in spiritual unity. Now, statement number two, it is a fact. Mr. Right will attract Miss Right and vice versa. Most singles have a mental and maybe even an actual checklist of what they want in the right one to be like. Now, how many of you out there that's gotten married have had a checklist of what you were looking for in a husband? We got one. We got two. We got three. Some of you are getting so old, you don't even remember. How many of you now that are single, I'll start with the girl, are you single and you have a checklist of what you're looking for in a marriage? We got one, we got two, we got three, we got four. Okay, the rest of you girls, you need to make you a checklist on what you're looking for in a husband. Sister Hill had a checklist, and the first thing on her checklist was she wanted a man that prayed, that had a prayer life, that had a relationship with God. And you know where Sister Hill found her husband? In an altar. Amen. I wasn't up here repenting. But I was up there worshiping and praising God. I had a relationship with God. And that's what you ought to look at. That ought to be number one on your list, is the young lady that I want to marry. I want her to have a strong relationship with God. In fact, my checklist was, I wanted to make sure that I married a young girl that loved God more than she loved me. Because if you love God more than you love that one you're to marry, then that one that you're going to marry doesn't have to worry about you flirting with someone out in the world. Because when you truly love God, you're not going to allow that to enter in. Because your love for God is going to give you a love for a spouse. So there's nothing wrong with a checklist. I know some of us, we made a checklist, and my, I've had this checklist for 12 years now. I ain't got married. So let me look at that checklist again. Oh, let's take that off. No, you need to leave it on, because that's the checklist God looks at. Because he wants to give you the desires of your heart. And don't get so concerned that it hasn't come about already. In God's time, it's going to happen. So it's important. But there's nothing wrong with the checklist. But it also is dependent on what is on the list. Now, let me give you some good examples that ought to be on the list. Number one, he's got proper hygiene. How about this one? He's got a job. He works hard. Amen. He brings in a paycheck. I would love for the day. Now, please, I'm not throwing any stones out there. I would love for the day that these men would work and these ladies could stay home. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But the problem that too many of us do, we try to live like the Jones. And so in order to get what the Joneses got, it takes both of us to work. And we keep complaining about each other because why haven't you got a raise lately? I want to get a... You need to learn to be content to what you have. I remember my dad used to always tell us when we were growing up, he said, you know, it took your mom and I a lot of years to get what we've got. Sometimes it may take you a few years to get what your mom and dad have. It takes a few years. And that's important. Now, so there's nothing wrong with having a list. Sometimes you need to make sure that what's on your list is God's list. However, you should spend more time making sure you're everything that you should be. You know, here, I'm saying, I want a young man that's got a prayer life and that's got a strong relationship with God. Well, what about you? You see, God is only going to give you what you yourself produce. If you're faithful, he'll give you someone faithful. If you get the point? Am I here by myself? And so that the key is, as I stated, the first thing on your list ought to be a prayer life. You're not going to attract the right kind of person if you aren't working to be the right kind of person that you should be. Singlehood is a tremendous opportunity for self-improvement, preparation, spiritual growth, and maturing. The third statement of fact is apostolic singles must trust that God is guiding their footsteps. These two young men are ready to get married right now. They're getting... I know, they're going to their mamas and they're saying, we're too young for this. Pastor is making me nervous. He's trying to marry us off. Read Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose.
If you love God, God is not going to let you down.
Right. Amen. Yes.
Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Proverbs 16 and 9.
A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
Psalms 37, 23.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
You see, if you're doing everything that you know to do, and it's right, don't think that God is not going to honor that. Fate is not a biblical concept. God orders our every step if we are faithful to him. That's something that every apostolic single should believe wholeheartedly. God is in control of my life. God knows where I'm at. God knows what's going on in my life. God will guide the right person into your life at just the right time. You might look around your church on any given Sunday and think, if these are my only options, I'm going to die alone. But remember, you walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7.
Get rid of the old yeast by removing the wicked person from among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us.
If you trust God and guard your integrity, God will orchestrate your future in ways that you can't possibly plan yourself. Statement of fact number 4. Speaking of guarding integrity, apostolic singles should create and maintain protective boundaries in their relationships. I'm confident that the average apostolic doesn't enter a relationship planning to mess up, to be indecent, or to be sexually immoral. But nevertheless, if you don't have a defensive boundary in place, lines can be crossed very quickly. Carelessness leads to sinfulness in a hurry. Let me say that again. Carelessness leads to sinfulness in a hurry. So let's talk dating and relationship boundaries for a minute. Under no circumstances should a man or a woman be alone together in a house, in a car, in a bedroom, or anywhere else unless they are married to one another. Amen. And I know there are times that people are very innocent, but they'll say, Pastor, can I speak to you alone? Can I speak to you in your office? Nope. We'll talk right here, right out in the middle of everybody. Why? Because I've got some boundaries. I'm not just protecting me, I'm protecting you. And that's the way it ought to be in every one of our lives. There's too much opportunity for things to go too far in that type of setting. And even if nothing happens, it looks inappropriate. Let me give you a little example. If I'm driving down 10th Avenue going towards Hanford, and I come up upon, let's just say, one of you ladies, and you're out the side of your car, and I can see frustration, and I'm by myself. Am I just going to go, whoop? No. I'll stop and say, hey, what's going on? Well, I ran out of gas. All right, you need to get back in your car. You need to lock the doors. I'll go into town. I'll bring some fuel back, and I'll put the fuel in your vehicle. All right, sitting on the side of the road. And I'm driving up, and I'm out by myself, and you're standing there scratching the top of your head. You got your hood up, and I'll stop, and I'll say, hey, what are you looking at? I don't know. The thing just won't start. It just conked out on me. Well, you don't know what's wrong with it? It won't turn over? No. All right, this is what I want you to do. You got a dad at home. You got a brother available. You got someone that can possibly tow you back into town. Well, yeah, Brother Jesse Chavez, he can do it. Okay, well, Brother Jesse doesn't get off work for 2 hours. Well, Pastor, what do I do? Well, you take my vehicle and you go home and you wait for Brother Jesse to get off work. I'll be on the phone with him and I'll stay here with your vehicle.
Hello?
No way are you going to get in my car and we're going to go driving off together. All I need is for Brother Bob to see Pastor Hell and so-and-so in the vehicle together. What comes to your mind? I wonder if Sister Hell knows. Sister Hell, I just drove by and I just saw your husband. You don't want to open a can of worms that can stay shut. Several years ago, I was driving down a certain street in this particular city on a Saturday afternoon. And at that particular time, I was in my... Brother Jesse's not here. Brother John, I think you bought my truck first. Wherever Brother John is. Oh, there you are. That diesel truck, you know, that I came to Corcoran with as an evangelist. And I came to town, and every time I'd pull up someone's house, they're... curtains were closed, and I knew they were home, and knock on their door, and no one would answer. And you know, that diesel pickup gave me away. I had to get rid of it. So anyway, I was in that diesel pickup, and I was going down a certain street in town, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and told me to pull into this set of apartments and go to that particular door. And, you know, so all right, I pull in. I go up to that particular door. Knock on that door, and lo and behold, who answered that door was a brand new convert that I had no idea even lived there. And beyond that new convert was a young man that had no business being in that young lady's house. And I called that young man by name, and I says, get out of his house. I said, what are you doing here? I said, you are up to no good. He comes out of the house, and I tell the young lady, I tell her, look, I'm trying to protect you. I said, this man's up to no good. I said, I know his past. I know what he's been involved with. I said, you lock your door on him. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. She shuts the door. He gets mad at me. And I told him, I said, if this is the way you want to act, I said, you're not a part of this church. I said, we don't act that way. We don't take advantage of the young ladies. Hello? Well, thank God someone feels that way. I think every man ought to be on his feet saying, that's the way it ought to be. I want you to protect my daughter. I want you to protect my daughter. I want you to protect my daughter. Dating couples need to spend time. Now, I gave out the dating rules, right? And everybody got one? All right, if you didn't get one, you let me know, and I'll give you one tonight before you go home. I gave everyone. Has anyone read them? It's one thing to get them, but it's another thing to read them. Everybody read them? All you young men, do you read it? Are you shaking your head yes because you don't want me to think you didn't? You. Yeah. You read them? You read it all the way through? Oh, some of it. Sister, that's his homework assignment tonight. You got it right there. All right, I want you to read it. All right, I want to ask these young ones. Daniel, have you read it? Yeah, the whole thing? Yeah? Did you get one? You got one? Did you read it? Malachi, did you read it? You need to make them read them. Tell them. Don't even think about dating until you read them. Oh, you told him you couldn't date anyway? Why is he going to read it? He already knows. Mom says, you ain't dating. Brother Jonathan, have you read them? The whole thing? Brother Josh? Brother Jonathan, could you go home and read them to Brother Josh? Maybe that's the problem. Brother Drell, have you read it for the 15th time? It changed some, didn't it? All right. Brother Boom, have you read it? Thumbs up. Brother Nick? My goodness, these guys ain't interested in you girls. When one of them come up and say, hey, I'm interested, say, I'm not interested in you. You won't even read the dating guides. Brother Stephen, you read it 15 times too? 15 times 2 is 30. You read it all the way through? Brother Daniel, have you read it? Yeah? Did you learn anything? Am I missing anybody out there? Brother Isaiah, did you read it? Did you learn something? A whole lot? Did it do any good? Hopefully. I will tell you this, men, it's not a miracle pill. There's some things you got to do to get yourself a date. All right? Brother Robert, did you get them? Did you read them all? All right. All right. Let's. You know, you say, oh, Pastor, you're embarrassing them. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not embarrassing them. Because that's going to be one of the things I'm going to ask them when they come and say, oh, let me show you how they do it. Pastor, can I talk to you for a moment? Sure, go ahead. What is it? Can we go somewhere in private? I said, right here is private. Good enough for me. Okay. No, I don't know. Tell me. Well, you know, I've been looking at some girls. You have. Thank God you're not looking at boys. Well, I'm looking at no, Pastor, you don't get it. I'm looking at a certain girl in the church. Well, good. Thank God she's in the church. By that time, they're scared to death to tell me anything. But but that Pastor, wait. There's someone in the church that I'm kind of interested in. And I wanted to get your approval. I wanted to get your okay. Okay to do what? Can I talk with them? Well, don't you talk to them already? Well, you know, a little more than that. Well, what are you trying to do to them? I'm going to make you as nervous as you can get. I want to get you so nervous you don't even want to date a girl. You know why? Because sometimes you're just too immature. And immaturity is what causes you to get in trouble. I'm in love, Pastor. Don't you understand? You're in love? What do you know about love? And then try to tell me what you know about love. You don't know anything about love. So I'm trying to help you to realize that dating in itself is not a game. But dating is very serious. Serious enough that if you're wanting to date them, you're even thinking about marrying them. Now, when you take them out on a date, that first date ought to convince you either yay or nay. She eats too much. Nay. If you're not willing to spend the cash, it's nay. Do I have any amens out there? I'll tell you, this is the way my dad went on his date with my mom, is he'd go to, you know, back in those days, they went to a diner, and he'd order one Coke with two straws. Any of you old-timers out there ever done that? Brother Bob? I never did because I didn't want to share my Coke. I made sure she had enough money to pay for both of us. But before you even think about inquiring or pursuing, you better get approved. I don't care. You're at a camp and you have some slick willy come up and try to make a move on you. You just need to stop him in his tracks. And you need to say, slow down, slick willy. We don't act this way in the church I go to. If you think you're interested in me, then you'll go through the proper channels. You'll go tell your pastor, and then your pastor will call my pastor. Hello? Well, I really don't want to ask. Well, let me ask it. You be honest. Is there anyone here that someone was interested in you, and you were interested in them, and you came to me, and you told me who they were? Is anyone here? One? Two? I know I've told a lot of you to leave that guy alone. That's why he's laughing. Anyone else over here? Brother Drell? Have you ever come to me about somebody? A couple times? And usually, I'll tell you, because I know a lot of people. Believe it or not, I know a lot of people. And the first thing I'm going to be concerned about is, who's their pastor? Because I know what they all believe. And I know if they believe like we believe or not. I don't want you to get caught up in something that is not good. And then there's those that I know who they are, and I know all about them. And I've told you no. Did I ever tell you no? Huh? Yep. I was wondering. No. But why would I tell her no? Because I love her. I don't want her hurt. I don't want her to fall because of some slick willy that thinks he's got it all under control. It's important that you have your pastor behind you. Elder Morton, this has been 41 years ago. Elder Morton was a part of my wife's life. And when she had a date with someone, he'd always call her up. And he would ask her the question, well, he called him by name. And there'd be times that she would say, he's not for me, or whatever she would say. He would say, then don't give him the time of day. But you know, some of these guys, they're persistent. So they'd come around and he'd knock on the door of the house my wife was living at the time. And they would tell him, oh, I'm sorry, you came at the wrong time. She's in the shower. Yeah, she was in the shower fully clothed. It's because she said, don't, I'm not home. I'm taking a shower. Because she didn't want to, you know, she already told him, I'm not interested, but they'll be still persistent. Don't feel sorry for them. You have got to listen to your pastor. When her pastor told her, don't give him the time of day, she followed his instructions. Amen. It's important because we want the best for you. We want the best for you. Amen. I believe every parent would agree with that. So dating couples need to spend time with groups of people. It would help if you saw how that person interacts with others and the people who are already a part of your life. Most of mine and my wife's dates were with people, other people, groups of people. There's nothing wrong with that. It's being safe. Anybody here want to be safe? Anybody here want to be taken advantage of? No, thank God. Dating couples should always have a plan. Don't just get together to kill time. Boredom and too much free time are a dangerous combo for two people attracted to one another. Singles of all ages must be open and accountable to your spiritual authority. Singles should talk to your pastor and talk to your parents. Talk to your youth leader and even a trustworthy spiritual mentor before becoming too emotionally invested in a relationship. You're being safe. You're safeguarding yourself. Singles who remove this boundary are dodging godly counsel. You don't want to put yourself in a place where mistakes are made and it's not even the one you're going to marry. When dating, singles should ask lots of questions. Ask lots of questions to him or her. Don't take for granted that you know what someone believes. Find out what they believe. Just because they warm a church pew, there's always a Judas hanging around Jesus. Talk, ask the questions. Find out what they really think deep inside of them. Talk about hopes, dreams, plans, goals, aspirations. Find out if they're growing spiritually or if they're dying spiritually. When dating, watch how they respond in a church service. Sister Hell watched me at our youth camps. Hello? And so watch how they respond in a church service. If they sit in church like a dead frog, you know something is spiritually off balance. If they're uninvolved and out of touch with their local church, run from them. Everyone say, I'm going to run. Stay modest, even when you're not together. Texting, social media, video chatting, tons of other technology advancements have changed the modern dating scene. But this is where we as apostolics are different. We don't do social media. We don't use video chatting. And as young ladies, we don't call the boys and we don't text them. Is there any parents home? As girls, we don't talk. We don't call the boys on the telephone. Texting. This is the problem. Emailing. You know what? You will say things that you would never say in their presence. Oh, yeah. You'll text things that you'll never say face to face. Hello? I can talk about sexting, but I'm not going to go into there tonight. But we gotta put some boundaries, amen, in our lives. We need to wait until we are in person with them and around a group talking. But you need to be godly in what you do. If it would be immodest for you to show it or wear it in person, you shouldn't be showing it or wearing it digitally. I was talking to a pastor several months ago, and he was saying, man, Brother Hale, I have got a major problem in my church. I said, what's the deal? He says, well, he said, I started, you know, we didn't do video. I didn't do any of that stuff. But all of a sudden, he said, you know, our cell phones can do little clips. And he said, it's gotten out of hand. He said, I've got girls that are doing little clips of themselves, being seductive in the picture, little clip, sending it to young men. I said, well, first thing, you should have never opened that door. I thought it was so innocent. Yeah, but now look what you're dealing with. If you'd never have opened that door, you wouldn't be dealing with that. I said, you got to beware that when you open up a door, and I'm going to use terminology an inch, those young people are going to open it up a foot. We've got to be protective of ourselves. Statement of fact number 5. Don't date someone who isn't marriage material. Never date just to date. I've received a lot of pushback on this piece of advice over the years, but I still stand by it anyway. Dating isn't a game or a way to kill time. Dating shouldn't be a temporary fix for loneliness. Dating is two people evaluating whether they are compatible and capable of truly loving one another for a lifetime. And by the way, spending all your free time with a member of the opposite sex is dating, whether you call it or not. It's dating. If marriage is out of the question, stop dating that individual immediately. Statement of fact number 6. Know your worth. You are incredibly valuable. Don't let anyone or anything convince you otherwise. In a culture of casual sex and careless relationships, apostolic singles are set apart by God for better things. And finally, marriage is by far the most life-impacting decision a person will ever make. That's the greatest decision you'll make in your lifetime, is who you are going to marry. You need to be prayerful. Everyone say, I'm going to be prayerful. Let us stand. I'm going to be accountable. Well, that was about 8 of the young people. I want to hear you. I'm going to be prayerful. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to seek wisdom. And you need to know that God cares about your happiness. God is in complete control of your future if you'll let Him. You need to let the Lord lead you with guidelines being given to you by your pastor. I'm opening up these altars for everyone, but I want young people to come tonight with these things in mind. Be prayerful, be accountable, be faithful, be prepared, seek wisdom. I wonder if there's young people here tonight that'll step up to this altar area and make a commitment to God. God, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm going to do my best to follow these things that our pastor has placed before us tonight. We got so much more to cover, but this in itself is a good place to start. Because if you're not going to accept this first lesson, you're not going to accept any of the others. So would you come tonight and make a commitment to God as we sing? I want to make this commitment, God. I'm going to be prayerful. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be prepared. And I'm going to seek godly wisdom. God.